And welcome back. You're listening to Grassroots on 91.9 FM, KCSB in Santa Barbara. Thanks for sticking with us. As promised now, joining us on the line, we have Neil DeMoss, who mentioned earlier, wrote a fabulous piece in the July-August issue of Extra. If you'd like to see more about it, you can go to fair.org. But Mr. DeMoss is a writer on quite a few issues. This is not a new one for him, and we just want to welcome you and thank you for spending some time on the air with us this morning, Neil.
Very good to be here.
So, obviously, the issue here, we're celebrating the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina making landfall. And I don't know if celebrating is the right word, but we're at least noting it. And looking back at what has happened in the year intervening when suddenly America got a new view that, oh my goodness, there still are poor people and poor people of color and black communities that have no resources in 2005 and now in 2006. What do you make from, and I won't give away what your article says, let folks read that too, but what do you make of what the media has and has not paid attention to in this intervening year?
Well, I can give away a little bit of the article. I mean, you know, everybody remembers this moment, right, when suddenly the images from outside the convention center in New Orleans appeared on the screen, and even CNN anchors and Fox anchors, you know, were noting, gosh, poverty exists. We're going to pay attention to this from now on. And that was a commitment that lasted a matter of maybe a couple of weeks. And I, you know, looked through coverage both of Gulf Coast and of poverty issues nationally in general since then. And, you know, story after story after story was ignored just the same way that it has been, you know, prior to Katrina. You know, reports on the depth of poverty in this country, reports on the depths of housing and healthcare problems, and, you know, right down to the... you know, how the poor communities that were in New Orleans are now scattered across the country, by and large, have managed since then and some of the obstacles facing them.
Now, I just heard this morning I was doing a little web surfing and listening to a little other radio, yes, other radio stations, and found out that a new census set of data was released showing that poverty actually increased in this country 13%, the poverty rate, when nationalized last year, and yet these sorts of stories are never connected to what we saw in after the Hurricane Katrina hit. Is there a reason that you think people are not connecting back to those very powerful visual images of what poverty looks like, at least in some areas?
I think it's really, there's a bunch of reasons why the media overlooks this. You know, one piece is just that, you know, newspapers and TV outlets in general are you know, fairly stretched to the bone at this point. And if they're going to cut something, it's generally going to be not, you know, the stock market report. It's going to be, you know, covering poverty issues or you know, or housing or something like that. I think a big problem really is the segregation we see in this country. You know, when you look at a place like New Orleans, you know, I'm sure that plenty of newspaper reporters from around the country had been to New Orleans for one reason or another over the past few years. But where did they go? You know, they went to the French Quarter. They went to the convention center when it was still a convention center. And, you know, they didn't go out into the neighborhoods. And it really is a problem that you have such both race and class segregation, really, in this country that people, especially the people who are, you know, in control of you know, what we hear and see in the media, can really, you know, go through their days and not see the, you know, really tens of millions of people who are in dire circumstances.
Now, when we saw what was on the, at least the television images from Katrina, we were looking at primarily African-American neighborhoods. We were hearing and seeing images that, you know, sort of the Old South and the talk about the segregation specifically in that region of the country and the history of slavery and such. It was rarely generalized to, well, what does that look like in Chicago or Des Moines or Santa Barbara, for that matter? Do you see any counterexamples of that, where communities, at least, if not on the national scale, local, have taken that seriously, made those connections, and done something with it in the last year?
That's hard to say. I think in general, the people who have been looking at those issues are the people who have been looking at those issues all along. And, you know, in terms of media coverage, you know, there was a report that came out from, I want to say it was Brookings last fall, looking at degree of concentrated poverty in various cities across the country. And, you know, it was something that got picked up, you know, a bunch of places, newspapers looked at, hey, wow, Fresno's number one in poverty. Let's look at Fresno. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the L.A. Times did a big story on Fresno, but they didn't do anything on poverty in L.A., which is also a problem, even if they weren't number one on the list.
Right.
So I think, you know, it opens up, I think, a little bit of opportunity. I think, you know, I've seen in the anniversary coverage as opposed to, say, the six-month anniversary coverage. You know, the stuff in the last few days in the press has sort of at least mentioned the problem of, you know, ingrained poverty in New Orleans, at least, because it's kind of hard to avoid. You know, you're looking at how people are doing a year later, and, you know, if the people are poor, you have to report on them. So I think there is an opportunity there, but, you know, so far, at least, it's a lost opportunity, because I really have not seen, you know, that turning into commitment from news organizations to really change the way they cover stories.
Now, you looked at quite a few news organizations, and quoted in your article are things from Newsweek, Newsday. You're looking at the Miami Herald, the New York Times, looking at television coverage on American Morning on CNN, looking at several of the wires. So you did a pretty broad search for this piece. Was there any exception to the rule when you were sort of looking for this pattern? Did you see one or two organizations that stood out or did something different, or did you find this to be just a uniform culture across all media?
The local ones were really good. The Times-Picayune in New Orleans was great, you know, and that's a newspaper that, you know, has, you know, had plenty of staffing problems and, you know, resource problems before this, and of course are now dealing with, you know, everything that everybody else in New Orleans is dealing with. But just because they're on the ground there, you know, they were really able to focus on this. I think the Houston Chronicle has done a really good job, again, because it's sort of something that's in their face. They're the only ones I saw who reported the other day that the dentists in New Orleans are reporting a huge increase in teeth grinding because of the level of stress in the city. I thought that was an interesting tidbit that I haven't seen elsewhere. Hmm. And you know, and they focus more on the you know, just the effects on you know, evacuees and on people, you know, whether living in Houston or elsewhere. But again, I think that's because they really haven't had a choice. You know, it's something that's really right in their faces, and they can't avoid covering it. I think, you know, any of the papers a little further away, whether it's, you know, New York or Chicago or L.A. or, you know, any smaller towns, have really dropped the ball because they can, because it's something that, you know, they, you know, can just dedicate their resources to covering something else. And, you know, no one is going to really call them on it except, I guess, for me and Fair.
And have you noticed that, I mean, a lot of the coverage I've seen just in the last 24, 48 hours has been talking about rebuilding efforts, you know, and the underlying tone seems to be if we could just get it back to what it was and rebuild this place, everything would be fine. And forgetting that, in fact, rebuilding means rebuilding an incredibly impoverished community. And how do you do that? Or do you even pretend that that's a goal? Have you seen anyone looking at those nuances of what these rebuilding efforts mean, the eminent domain questions, the community organizing that's happened there on the ground?
You know, there's been scattered here and there stories. I think in general you get a split between how can we, you know, put it back to the way it was, and, well, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, right? Because now we wiped out the school systems, and now we have charter schools. And, you know, neither one of those is really looking at the actual issues of, you know, I mean, there's problems in terms of what do you do both to, you know, honor the homes of all these people who have been displaced and at the same time plan for a city that can survive what will likely be another, you know, big storm in the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
Right.
I haven't really seen a lot of that sort of coverage. So hopefully in the future, but you know, we'll see how it goes today, I guess.
Was there any reaction that you picked up on to Michael Brown's admission that, yeah, the White House asked me to lie, that, you know, came out over the weekend, that, yeah, I was supposed to say everything was fine, and no, it really wasn't, as though, of course, the rest of the country hadn't seen that. But did anyone pick up on that and say, aha, we have a real structural problem here on top of the poverty, or was that too little too late?
You know, I think that there's been, in general, good attention to the structural problem of FEMA and of emergency management. I think that that's something that, you know, people like Anderson Cooper have been, you know, hammering on and have been able to sort of, you know, focus on as a mismanagement issue, not necessarily a structural issue with the country, but a, you know, the Bush administration isn't doing a good job of managing this particular issue. Making that leap to the problems of poverty and how the Bush administration has dealt with that, I have not necessarily seen.
All right. Well, the article is called Katrina's Vanishing Victims, subtitled Media Forget the Rediscovered, in quotes, poor. Neil DeMoss, thank you very much both for writing this, but also for, I hope you're making some rounds today and in this coming week talking to folks like me around the country. And thank you. Any last tidbits that you'd like to point people to if they're really interested in more of this information?
I think the website fair.org, F-A-I-R.org, is a great place to start, and there's plenty of different resources there, including various articles by me on this topic.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Neil DeMoss. We are going to go, as I mentioned now, to a piece that the National Radio Project did just shortly after Katrina, and it is about rebuilding. It's a piece that they did called Rebuilding Hope, and we're going to close out the hour with that. Thank you for listening here to KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, and we will return. We're going to let this play out, and we'll return with you next week.